afternoon from the magical Isle of Vashon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and we are foregathered on a beautiful sunny afternoon on the magical Isle. It is just lovely here today. And as is my custom, I start with a recognition of those who are on the binnacle list, those who have been added in the last week since we foregathered together around the chair, and also for those who fortunately have been able to be removed from the list and go back to duty. There is another way, of course, where people are removed from the binnacle list, and that is when they cross the bar. And in the last week, we had just a few days ago the crossing of the bar of one of my regular listeners, a chief bosun's mate, Chief Bosun's Mate Jones. And I remark in this particular case because he was a frequent contributor to the Coast Guard Channel. And it is on the Coast Guard Channel where there are many of Captain Joe's people and a number of people who have supported the Voice of Vashon very generously, even though they live far away from Vashon Island. So it is always a sad time when we recognize the crossing of the bar by any one of us, but in particular when it is someone who has been a frequent contributor and who has been the support for a number of other people who are also Captain Joe's people. And so, Chief Jones, you kept your oath over all the years, sometimes perfectly, sometimes imperfectly, which is the case with all of us. And so we are grateful to you and to your family for your service over self. Chief Jones is also of recognition by me because we are all connected in some ways. And one of the connections that we share is that one of the birthdays that we celebrate today is with Fred. And Fred is one of the people who actually runs the Coast Guard Channel. And at the big Coast Guard reunion in Reno several years ago, Mary R. and I went to that reunion, and it was the occasion for Fred and Gail to get married. And I was asked to be one of the witnesses, and Chief Jones was one of the witnesses. So there is a lovely photograph that was taken of that wedding ceremony in a judge's office, actually, but that did not detract from the joy of the occasion. And so when Chief Jones died a couple days ago and yesterday, Fred put the wedding photograph, and it shows all of us there. And it was particularly poignant to your captain because two of the people that are in that photograph out of just, it was a very small wedding party. It was the way that Fred and Gail wanted it. And the two of the people in that small group are with us now only in memory. And that really is a hard one to look at that photograph, and yet the memory is so joyous, and it was such a great day, and it was another bright, sunny day, this time in Reno, Nevada. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, and since I have absolutely no right to claim any patrician connections, I always say, and that doesn't mean that over the years, and especially in those days in which I was an avid and enthusiastic consumer of a number of different sorts of beverages, that I didn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day with equal enthusiasm, equal to all of those who have the right to do it. But Mary R. came from a traditional Irish Catholic family. Actually, she was half Irish and half Scots. On her mother's side, she's a Campbell, and so she's entitled to wear any one of the Campbell tartans, and I equally have absolutely no claim to being able to wear a Campbell kilt. A sight to behold, for sure. But for those of you who are of Irish, like my good friend, Captain O'Brien, my teacher on most things aviation, a couple of other people are also my teachers in that area. And to all of you who are of Irish extraction, may you celebrate the day with a great time, because we are indeed coming out of this terrible time that we have been in. Saturday is the first day of spring, and it is the day when the sun crosses the equator, and we are really looking forward to spring here on the Magical Isle, and it is always a lovely place. One of my other favorite places to enjoy spring is in East Anglia in England. And right about now, we are past the time when the snowdrops come up. Those are the first announcements of spring. The first bosun's mate of the watch piping the arrival of spring comes with the snowdrops pushing up through the ground. But the next thing that happens is that there are huge fields in East Anglia of rapeseed, and the rapeseed fields are brilliant yellow when they are in bloom, and we are probably at about that time right now. And I can think of few places besides Vashon in the springtime. The other place, of course, is in the Commonwealth of Virginia, because this is apple blossom time, cherry blossom time, forsythia, which is considered in the Commonwealth to be almost a trash plant. And it is an azaleas. And in the neighborhood where my mother had her home until I brought her out here, all around that particular neighborhood in North Arlington were azaleas all over the place. So springtime is a wonderful, wonderful time of hope. And we are all hopeful that we are almost to the end. I'm not going to say the light at the end of the tunnel. I weary of hearing that particular bromide, and I am not going to repeat it. In Help Wanted, Dr. Scott and I breakfast together. We try to breakfast together maybe once a week when he is in town. And our place of choice is Sporty's. Now, Sporty's, if you come from a neighborhood sitting like Baltimore or Philadelphia or San Francisco, you will have a neighborhood bar and grill. Sporty's is our neighborhood bar and grill. It is suitably gritty. It is clean, but it is suitably gritty. And now we are able once again to go in and sit down and have a wonderful, wonderful traditional American breakfast. That's different, by the way, from a traditional English breakfast, which I will describe here on at some appropriate time. But we have a traditional American breakfast. And I was with Scott. We were having breakfast there on Saturday, and we noticed that there was a Help Wanted sign in the window. So I inquired of the lovely young lady who was waiting on us, and she said yes, that they are indeed looking for someone. She mentioned the possibility that it would be somebody who would be a bartender. And I said, well, I will mention that, but I would want people to who may not have the appropriate credentials or may have some emotional or other reason not to want to be a bartender. And I hold no brief against bartenders. Believe me, I have certainly patronized many of them all over this world. So But I would just mention that if anyone who lives on the island or who doesn't live on the island but would like to commute to the island is looking for employment, not only is the position at the Ace Service Center, but also at Sporty's is now open, and you can, they have a website, I believe. Even a gritty neighborhood bar and grill has a website. I believe they have one, but in any case, you can easily find them, find the phone number, and give them a call if you're interested in working there. The sign that is on the in the front window of the Gene Voss studio is newly put together by Richard. Now, I mentioned Richard here for two reasons. First of all, because the sign is absolutely beautiful, Richard, and it is prominently displayed in the window this very minute. So anybody walking by on the sidewalk outside the Gene Voss Memorial Studio can see that the program that is on the air right now is from the captain's chair. And it says, proclaims that it is Captain Joe that is pontificating. It shows a ship's wheel, and in the middle of the ship's wheel is the Coast Guard seal. It's absolutely beautiful. And Richard, I thank you so much for doing it. And also, I take this opportunity to thank you for all that you do for us from a technical point of view. For Captain Joe's people who are not able to listen when I broadcast live on 101.9, the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streamed live, unscripted and unrehearsed every week at 1 bell of the afternoon watch on voiceofvashon.org. And so Richard is the one that moves the electronics, the program as it is encoded, I suppose might be the right word. In any case, it is enshrined. That's what I'm going to use, enshrined. It is enshrined electronically on a computer here in the Gene Voss Memorial Studio, and then it has to be moved from there onto the archive on voiceofvashon.org, and it's Richard who does that. And we are, all of us who are producers, that's what we're called here, all of us who are program producers depend on Richard to get our programs into the archives, and it is for those of you in Singapore and those of you in Stockholm and all of the places in between who are not able to listen to your Captain Joe pontificate live, you depend on Richard's work to get the program up onto the archive on voiceofvashon.org. And so many thanks to Richard for taking care of that for us every week. The book this week, I have a very interesting story, and this is a story of hope. And I always like stories of hope because we've listened to so much dismal news and so many tragedies and so many families in this country and all over the world who have an empty place at the table and in some cases at the head of the table. So this is my story of hope, and this is the book for this week. It's called End of an Era, The Last of the Great Lakes Steamboats, and it's by David Plowden. It is an absolutely beautiful book, and it came to me, and this is where the hope comes in. The confidence comes in. It was a gift from a young preschool, a gentleman of preschool age. His name is Cody, spelled K-O-D-Y for Kodiak. And his mom and dad are Coast Guard people by association. His dad, John, did not serve in the Coast Guard, but he has become one of us. He is one of the people that helps put the Coast Guard channel up. And John and Karen have a son, Cody, preschool. And so the hope and the confidence is that John and Karen are teaching Cody things about service, things about ships, things about the people who sail in those ships, things like whistle signals and all of those things. And I have talked to Cody on the telephone a couple of times. Admittedly, these are short conversations, not as long as I'm able to carry on. But as Cody gets older, I hope that our friendship will continue. And the book was a gift from Cody, and it showed up in my post just during the week. And it is a book that was written by David Plowden at the beginning of, well, not the beginning of the Thousand Footer era, but say midway to the beginning of the period when we started building 1,000-foot-long ore boats to fit inside the Pollock at the P-O-E lock, not Pollock, at the falls at Sault Ste. Marie. And it and so I was leafing through it, and I came across some wonderful photographs for one of my favorite Great Lakes ships, which is no longer sailing. And that's the S.T. Crapo. And I remind everybody that when you are talking about a Great Lakes ship, you use the entire name. So she is never to be called the Crappy Crapo, for example. She is always addressed by her full name, S.T. Crapo. She's no longer sailing, but when she was sailing and when I was the commander in Sault Ste. Marie, she was at that time the oldest ship still sailing on the lakes, and she was kept in immaculate condition. She had a lovely light gray livery. The term livery means the colors that a ship or an aircraft are painted. And she had this lovely light gray livery, and the photographs of her show her in the immaculate condition in which I always saw her. I never saw her with any running rust or any signs that she wasn't being lovingly cared for. She was a coal-fired ship, and she had triple expansion steam engine in her. And the photographs show the fire room, and they show piles of coal in front of the boilers. So I then opened it up, and I got a couple of quotes out of her, which I'm out of the book, which I'm going to read. I'm not so sure that this book is still in print, but I'm sure that it can be found someplace. I am not giving up my copy, but here is a quote from, this talks about the captain being on the bridge in restricted waters, and in such rivers as the St. Mary's, it is traditional for the captain to be in the pilot house. I can assure you that this captain was always up on the bridge when we were navigating the St. Mary's River. The one time that I broke that rule, we bent a little steel on a U.S. steel ship. So there are also restricted passages like Gray's Reef and Round Island. Remember, the mate on watch is in charge. The old man is there to take charge. And the person asking the question says, "And what about calling the captain the old man?" I asked, "Is it a derogatory term?" "No, not at all. It's an affectionate term, not derogatory in any way. It's slang, though, so you wouldn't call him that to your face." And I read this particular quote because another birthday that I am celebrating is with Senior Chief Gunner's Mate Kent. Now, Senior Chief was a second-class gunner's mate with me in my first command at sea, which was a small patrol cutter out of San Diego. And at that time, he was a second-class gunner's mate. He was older than his captain, and yet, and in fact, everybody in that crew, with the exception of the newest boots out of boot camp, were older than their captain. And yet to them, and never to my face, was I the old man. I've been the old man in 6 different Coast Guard cutters, and in only my last was I older than most, including the chief's mess. So a happy birthday to you, Senior Chief, and to Fred. We already talked about his birthday, and it's also the birthday of my son, Stephen, who is in Fairbanks, Alaska. So happy birthday to all hands. And Cody, thank you for the book, and I look forward to our being together this summer, because the next thing on my list to talk about is that there are two Coast Guard reunions which I am going to attend, and the first one is in July. That's in Port Huron, Michigan, and we're going to gather there to celebrate being able to travel again, and I believe that I may be asked to make remarks at some function during that particular reunion. I warn the organizers, who are Captain Joe's people who listen to this broadcast, that if you give me the opportunity to stand up in front of, in particular, a group of Coast Guard people, and in particular people who have been in the ice, then I can pontificate at more length than even the hardiest person who has made a head call just before sitting down would want to listen. I will work hard to discipline myself. But that is in July, and I have to figure out, there are no direct flights between Vashon Island and Port Huron, Michigan. So I'm figuring out, working out the transport arrangements right now. But I have my hotel room booked, and I'm just got the registration packet, and I'm about ready to send that in. And I hope for an oversubscribed reunion, because John, who has organized this thing, has put an enormous amount of work into it. That's the case with all of these reunions, and I hope that we have an oversubscribed registration list for that one. The second reunion to which I'm going is the 85th birthday for my Ingham. I am the senior living captain, her senior living captain, and once again, I will be a part of the celebration. This one will be in Key West. And as with Port Huron, Michigan, there are no direct nonstop flights between the between Vashon Island and Key West Island. But I have been there before. The last one in Key West, Mary R. and I went to together. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. And interestingly enough, with Ingham, the tradition of the ashes of people who have sailed in her, there are several of them in her now, just as Arizona survivors. There are a number of urns of Arizona survivors that are in the hall. And when one of those funerals takes place, divers take the urn down and they put it into a place that has been set aside for that in Arizona's hall. And what we've done in Ingham is that the safe in the captain's cabin, the cabin that I occupied when I was her captain, has now become a columbarium. And so there is at least one, and I think by now probably more, of the ashes of several of her captains are in her. So the So those are the reunions that are on my schedule so far this year, and both of which I will go to and should be invited. I don't have to be urged. Should I be invited, I will be making suitable and appropriate, and I will try very hard, succinct and short remarks. I have always asked for people to give me things that they would like me to talk about. And so my doctor, professor, friend in Stockholm, Dr. Mark, has sent me a message suggesting that there are a number of people, Coast Guard and other kinds of people, who would that I could have on by telephone, that I would call and have them come on by telephone. And I will work on that, because he's quite right. There are a lot of people out there that I'd like to have on, but I never run out of people that I'd like to have on from here on the island. So so good, Professor, Doctor, your message is received, and I roger for it, and I will be working on that. And we will see what we can come up with. Last Sunday was daylight savings time. I did not say anything about it at the time, although I had it in my notes. I ran out of time, but I bring it up again because this is a good time to change the batteries in your smoke detector and in your carbon monoxide detector and any other detectors that you may have in the house. If they run off batteries and are not plugged into an outlet, now's the time to go ahead and change those out. Every so often, some strange things show up on my or in my inbox, electronic inbox on the computer. And one of them today, or a couple days ago, was one called Cooking Professionally. Now, I did not ask for this. It just magically appeared. And and yet, for reasons which are not even clear to me, I still keep it on. And glad am I that I did, because here is the recipe that showed up on the site 2 days ago. Now, I want you to be thinking through when I tell you the name of this as to what it might look like and what it might taste like. It is called the Chicken Tortilla Dump Dinner. The Chicken Tortilla Dump Dinner. Thoughts of dumpster, dumps, things like that. I'm sitting here and Susan is sitting at the table across from me eating a chicken tortilla not dump dinner. And so whatever that is, I haven't looked at what the ingredients are, and I haven't looked at the instructions on how you make it. But anyway, when good things show up like that, I have to report them. So the last thing that I'm going to be able to get to today is that I had a reason to call my successor in Sault Ste. Marie as the commander there. Now, instead of a group command, it's called a sector commander. But the incumbent is a Captain Jones, another Jones. We had a wonderful talk, and I am now convicted of the idea that there is somebody who's probably doing close to, if not quite there, as well as I did as the commander in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, which was one of the great and the best, in fact, shore job that I had, followed closely, but my job as the ICE boss in Coast Guard headquarters before I became an honored retiree. So it was wonderful to talk to him, and I hope to get to the Sioux this summer. And we are now at the end once again of our time far too quickly with so many more things to talk about. But as always, I close this broadcast telling you that your Captain Joe is up in the chair on station watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And those of you who have people for whom you are accountable, pretty soon you can reach out and touch them and love them, but do it anyway. And we will meet again right here in a week from today.